So thank you for those words. This, your stories and your personal experience and living out of the land ethic is meant to now inspire each one of us to consider the same question. How am I, or what is my land ethic? And how is it that I am putting that into practice in my life? And maybe for some of us it's still a question, and that may be our practice to ask the question. So for the next 10 or 15 minutes in our tables, in the spirit of Aldo Leopold's thinking and feeling community, we invite you to discuss amongst yourselves what is my land ethic? What is our land ethic, given the sparks that we've received, the inspiration, and how am I putting this into practice? And then, that's good for now. 15 or so minutes.
I hope you guys don't mind if I put my robot here.
What's it doing?
Capturing your conversation. If that's okay. Is that all right with everyone?
I thought you were going to put the cup over top of the room.
I think I put it on another table. I think I had to shut it off.
Did I just shut it off?
No. It's good. You're good.
Very powerful stories from this school.
How is our land ethic? Start with the bean. Yeah.
My wife actually is a farmer, but she only has half of a city lot to farm in. So we took all the grass out 4 or 5 years ago and created this environment in our backyard. And it actually is absolutely amazing. It's kind of frustrating for me at times. But it really is, it's amazing how much grows. And it's really rich soil. It's probably 2 or 3 feet of topsoil back there all the way. But in this space, and we don't till it really. It just kind of is a permaculture kind of experiment. And there's a bunch of fruit trees and stuff out there now. Cherries and currants. Currants. And hazcap and raspberries and strawberries and apple and pear and grapes. And anyway, but that's just the stuff that's growing on the surface. But what's amazing is how many creatures are in the soil. This spring, when we were just cleaning off some brush and stuff off it, like dead stuff in the spring, and there was this little bush that was dead on top. It must have had roots that were alive. And I was just wiggling it around to kind of break off the dead branches, and a whole nest of ladybugs came up out of the ground. I've never even seen that before. It was just brilliant. And there's beetles and lots of bees. It's a stunning thing. It just does its own thing. Yeah, Anna got stung a bunch of times. Yeah. But it produced a pile of food for us at relatively little effort, actually. And there's just so many things growing in there. All because of my wife.
And even a little beauty.
And there's some beauty to it.
And you don't have to mow the yard.
And we don't have to mow the yard. And we have probably at least a square yard of soil we've produced. Like this, the richest smelling loamy soil from our garden, or from our kitchen compost. Like a huge amount from the last couple of years of just taking everything out of our kitchen that we're not eating and putting it in a pile. they own. You too can do this.
For me, I think my land ethic and what she talked about practice, for me, I make an intent of being out walking or jogging or skiing along the river where I live in Saskatoon, and I'm fortunate to be very close to it. So that is a part of my spiritual and soulful practice. I try and do that pretty much daily, and then other pieces of that are to go outside of the city as often as I can and to spend time then in the forest or paddling or camping or just out for the day skiing. And it's not just physical then, that is a spiritual and soulful piece. So for me that helps keep connected. And then we've chosen to live in a condo, so that reduces the footprint somewhat from living in a house. And the other ways that I try to have some land ethic is by buying as much organic as I can to support organic farmers. And it's not easy to do because, as you know, as consumers, it takes quite a bit of effort to find that. And the other thing I think is, for me, is supporting organizations that are doing proactive and activist work, like Canadian Parks and Wilderness Societies, or organizations like that, where I'm writing letters and giving money. That's the way I can do it, because I'm not actually a farmer.
Going from the, also the non-farmer perspective, when I think about land ethic, where I come from with 20 million city, with 20 million people, I try to think, where is the land? Because where I lived, when I try to think of the land, I just can't think of somewhere really far away from where I am. Because everything is concrete, everything is city, everything is buildings, everything is pollution. And there is this, there isn't this awareness that land is important, because there is no land. There is no land to practice agriculture or to be a farmer in the city, at least 2 hours away from it, you're going to find it. So the culture of the people living in the city is the one without awareness that this is present and that is important. And just by stepping out of it, I realized that how important it is and how basic and how can... But at the same time, it is so basic and it's... goes to our basic needs as human beings to be connected to the land, but how easy it is to miss it and how easy it is to get disconnected from it and not realize it, because we have everything, we say to ourselves. We have, okay, we have every kind of entertainment that a big city has, we have every kind of supermarket, globalized food from all over the world. So we, like, we have everything. We have everything like at the palm of our hands, but the most basic needs and the need for those basic needs, they get hidden and behind all these forms of entertainment and diversity and false, not false happiness, but false idea that we have everything we need to be human beings, but actually we're missing the most basic part. But again, how can you really blame people for living in big cities? Because there is no land to be connected to. I could keep trying to find an example of being connected to land. My dad, for example, in the same city where I lived, he planted in small vases so he could have like some little carrots or some maybe some small tomatoes, but those basic things. But other than that, how can you really be connected to it?
Are there parks?
Yes, but again, once you step out of the park, you step out of everything, you step out of the nature.
What Karen just said about getting rid of the windows and walls really spoke to me. And I've lived in Camrose my entire life, and it's often thought of as a small town and relatively connected to nature and to farmers. And I have to say that I've never really experienced it as such. And I mean, not to say that there definitely weren't moments, and it's not like living in a really large city, but I've always felt very disconnected. And it's always in these liminal moments just kind of outside of my life that I really feel that connection, and I'm really trying to work towards finding a way to sustain that connection to the land and not just have it be in these small little moments. For example, this summer I was in Peru and I went on a four-day hike, and just being completely out of doors and there's absolutely no infrastructure and no contamination of the land in some of these areas was just really incredible. And I really just felt for the first time what it was to just feel at peace and not understanding everything, but just really feeling connected. And I really carried that with me for a long time, but since I've come back to Canada, I've slowly started, felt it just slipping away from me, and I'm just trying to figure out a way to keep it, to get back to it. And I think part of it is just effort on my own part that I know that I need to work on. To go outside and to do what I can in the environment that I'm living in. So that's something that I'm going to work on with that today.
So maybe what we need to do here at Augustana is go beyond what we're already doing in emphasizing local foods and start our own little Augustana farm with our students for it.
That would be nice. And I agree. I think initiatives like that are awesome. And I feel like I always really admire initiatives like that. And I feel like a lot of the work now just has to come from me to be a part of that, to myself get involved in these amazing initiatives and stuff, because there's a lot of opportunities, I feel, in Camrose to be involved with the land. And I just need to refocus my thinking.
Including on Bond's farm.
Yes, exactly.
That's the thing that going to the value of local food that you mentioned. For my whole first year, I didn't realize how valuable it was until I joined this religion class that I'm in, that I'm in for this conference as well, that we also talk about the connection to the land and local food mainly as a main topic. So I think that like this should definitely be a bigger generalized culture, at least in Augustana campus, because there are many opportunities like the farmers markets. People don't go there as much as they should, obviously, especially once people start living off campus. So that should be, that could and should be implemented like as a general culture in our campus.
This fall, I did ride-alongs with people combining. I'm a parish pastor, so I just wanted to hang out with my parishioners, and they were all combining in September, so that's where I was. And it was really quite pleasant. But I don't think it connected me to the land. I think there's a real irony in that, because I'm just separated in this bubble of the combine, and you're going over the land. And there's a real mechanistic separation, I think, there. Like, it's not a get down and get your hands in the soil kind of an experience. It was really big, expensive machinery gleaning and pouring it into another big, expensive machine and hauling it off to big, expensive silos. And I'm not saying that was bad, but it didn't connect me to the land. It was a connection to the people that were in the combine with me, and I really value that. But if I was looking to connect to the land, and I'm thinking about agriculture, those great big huge machines for me aren't the connecting point. It would have to be like talking with one parishioner who says how much he loves his animals. He just intensely loves cattle and goes the extra mile to make sure his cattle are healthy and that they survive and all that. Like, that was a real connecting point for me, but the big machines, not so much.
Back here,
well, action probably is. What city do you live in or from?
São Paulo, in Brazil.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
is it agricultural around the city?
Yes, but it takes an hour and a half to leave the city, yeah. The surrounding parts. A bit. Depends where you go.